everyone. Thanks so much for joining us to learn all about building bots with Power Virtual Agents. My name is April Dunham, and I'm a Power Platform Developer Advocate here at Microsoft. And joining me today is Gitika Gupta. She's a Senior PM on the Power Virtual Agents team. How are you doing today, Gitika?
Great, thanks. I'm excited to be here today. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm excited too, because we have a jam-packed agenda for you today. Now, first things first, though, everything that we're going to be covering today is available on Microsoft Learn in the Get Started with Power Virtual Agents learning path. You can go to aka.ms/learn/mbas-bots to get there. So make sure that you check that out after the session, go through the interactive learning exercises to practice and apply your new skills. All right, so let's talk about what we're going to be covering and what you're going to be building today. We have a cool chatbot that we're going to be building. So we're going to show how to get started, and the end result is going to be this chatbot where we can interact with it, ask it questions like, what are your store locations? We can interact, click buttons, select the location that we want to choose, and it will return back an answer with the location that we asked for. So pretty cool. Gitika, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be learning and what the learning objectives are?
Certainly. That looks really exciting. Today's session, as April was saying, will really help you get started with PVA. You're going to be able to create your own Power Virtual Agents bot. We'll test the bot together so you can see how it's working, and then we'll show you how to publish it out for anyone to be able to start interacting with it. We'll talk about analyzing bot performance so you can really improve your bot and keep it current. And you'll notice often in the session, we use PVA for short for Power Virtual Agents. So just so you have that in your mind. Yeah.
Great. And just a reminder, this session today is live and interactive. So make sure that you're using the chat. Put your questions in there, even if you just want to say hi. Put that in there. We have moderators on standby to answer your questions, and we will get to as many of your questions as we can today. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get started. So let's start with a quick overview of what Power Virtual Agents, or PVA for short, is. What does it allow us to do? Well, it lets us, the businesses, build a library of easily answered questions and gives us a user experience that helps customers retrieve that information with a fast and simple one-on-one chat by using a bot. Now, what is a bot, you might ask? It's just a form of AI, artificial intelligence, that simulates human conversation through chat. So we've probably all interacted with a bot in some form or fashion. I know I have. I'm sure you have, Gitika. I've used these, for example, maybe if I had an issue with something I ordered and I interacted with that chatbot and they helped me get a resolution, maybe print a return slip. So lots of ways that we're probably already integrating and interacting with bots. But what exactly and how exactly do these bots work? So what happens is they listen for keywords and phrases that relate to the library of those common customer issues, also known as topics, which we'll talk a little bit more later on, that you define and that are stored in the bot. So what happens is it responds and returns those answers as you continue to have a one-on-one conversation with the bot. It'll even continue to check through a series of follow-up questions to see if your question has been answered and that your problem is resolved. So, you know, what problems, though, are these bots really solving? It's all about delivering customer service solutions. Today, organizations are looking for more effective ways to deliver customer service solutions to their customers. So they want, you know, we all want faster and more precise self-service support. While businesses are trying to satisfy their customers' needs for that. So that's where the intersection of both of those needs meets with Power Virtual Agents. So what's great about it is it's simple for non-technical users to write and expand these bots in Power Virtual Agents quickly. So what are some of the other benefits that we have here? One is their ability to reduce assisted support inquiries. Now, customers, we don't always need to connect with human agents to get some of the answers that we're looking for. So, you know, some common issues that can be resolved by displaying bot topics, knowledge base articles, or maybe if you need to know the store hours, like we saw what we're going to build today. We don't need an agent on the line to walk us through that and tell us what the hours of our store are. You know, another benefit is seamless integration with other systems. Now, usually when you're interacting with a bot, we probably need to be able to pull information, say, from a customer relationship management system and look up information about the person that's asking the question so that we can follow up with that. We can even allow for that information and the conversation to be transferred to a human agent if need be for escalation. Finally, automation is another big benefit of bots and Power Virtual Agents. With Power Automate, we can have custom workflows and automated actions that can be configured and the bot can run, with the customer's permission, of course, to automate the resolution of the request. We can have follow-up functions and actions like scheduling meetings, assigning cases, sending follow-up emails, surveys, and all of that. So Kitika, a lot of benefits already, right, with bots that we're seeing. Okay.
So certainly, you know, so chatbots as a solution are growing rapidly and, you know, conversational bots are starting to deliver large ROI for minimal effort. Now, specifically for Power Virtual Agents, some of what April already mentioned, but business users are really empowered to build majority of their scenarios without the need for developers. And that rich conversational AI that PVA or Power Virtual Agents offers really helps customers and employees resolve routine issues automatically, resulting in reduced assisted support costs that April already touched on. So yeah.
Exactly. And you know, all of this stuff, like building a bot that can answer questions in a knowledge base and even escalate that and call other systems, that seemingly feels like that might require a lot of work, like maybe months of work and lots of custom coding. But that's not the case with Power Virtual Agents. That's the beauty of it. Instead of weeks or months of work and custom coding, we can leverage Power Virtual Agents in days or even hours using that no-code point-and-click interface that Power Virtual Agents offers. So, you know, we can use all these benefits without having to turn to developers or data scientists to help. It eliminates that gap that we have between the subject matter experts, the people that know the customer service inquiries that we're trying to solve with a bot, and the development teams that would traditionally need to build these bots. So it pushes the power into the hands of the people who are intimately aware of the process and gives them the ability to create the bot, reducing the time and the complexity needed to be able to build a bot. Now, as you can see, we've already listed tons of advantages, and there's even more. Another key benefit of using Power Virtual Agents is its ease of deployment. With just a few clicks, you can sign up, create a bot, and embed it into your organization's website or wherever you need to embed it, whether that's Teams or a website. And Kitika will walk us through that process a little bit later on. Yeah. It also helps reduce cost. By automating these common inquiries, we're freeing up human agents' time to focus on the more complex issues. And one of the ways it reduces cost is by improving customer satisfaction. Customers have access to an all-day self-help solution to help with their issues through personalized bot conversations when you're building bots and Power Virtual Agents. Happy customers equals returning customers. Now, with that, we kind of understand what Power Virtual Agents and bots can do with us. But now let's turn it over to Kitika so she can give us a good understanding of what we can do with PVA and walk us through environments, what they are, what they mean, and how they interact with Power Virtual Agents.
Certainly. Now, getting started with Power Virtual Agents is actually really easy. You can just go obtain that free trial license to get you started, to be able to go try out the product, complete some initial training, evaluate the product by going to aka.ms/trypva. You get to see some of the benefits of the product. Also, you select start free and you're able to go ahead and begin a free Power Virtual Agents trial. I just want to mention that you do need to sign in with a work email address because personal Microsoft accounts are not currently supported. Just to talk a little bit about environments. Now, each bot is stored in an environment, and an environment really represents a space to store and manage all of your organization's business data. When you build a bot, it is stored in an environment. And just if you're familiar with, you know, Power Apps, model-driven apps or Canvas applications, or even Power Automate flows for that matter, you would know that those are also stored in similar environments. Because what you do is you set up an environment to have different roles and security requirements for the different target audiences. And while you don't create those environments within Power Virtual Agents, they're actually created in a separate location in the Power Platform Admin Center. And we'll see some screens on that in a moment. When you create your environment, once you've got that created, your bots can then go ahead and be created and stored in those environments. So how and why do you use environments, really? So today, many organizations have a global presence, and they provide services to their customers in multiple regions, countries, continents. And then this really results in their data being available in these different regions or locations in the world. Now, depending on your business needs, you or your organization would use environments in a few different ways. A couple that stand out is you may need to create an environment per department. So you would create an environment that responds with your specific team or department's needs, and it would contain information that's relevant for that audience. Or probably the more common case is because your data is in different regions, geographic regions, you may actually want your environments to be broken down by location. So the key thing here is those different branches of your company, the data does not cross across those different branches, and you can maintain that data sovereignty intact. And then you would deploy the similar bot in those different environments, and they would interact only with the system and the data for those areas. So it really keeps that integrity and sovereignty intact. Now, you only need multiple environments if your company is global and supporting regions with certain specific privacy and storage requirements, for example, China, Germany, the EU, Singapore, and so on. So in these cases is where you would create those environments. And Power Virtual Agents really accommodates being able to create bots in these different environments and switching between them. Now, the first time that you do sign into Power Virtual Agents, you get a new bot and a new environment created right away by default. And unless you specify otherwise, bots will get created in this default environment. If additional environments are needed, like we said, because of different location or geographic regions or your other organizational needs, you would go into the Power Platform Admin Center, which is linked here. And in the next slide, actually, I'll show you. In order to create a new environment, you go into that Power Platform Admin Center. The first step is to go into the Environments tab, where you'd select New to go ahead and get a new environment started up. In the panel that opens on the right, you would enter your environment's name, what type of environment it is, whether it is a production or a trial or a sandbox environment. And then key thing is that you mentioned the region or that supported data location where your environment needs to be created. So your data, again, remains within that region. The United States is the default, but you can obviously select whatever regions Power Virtual Agents is supported in. And what you do need to have is a Microsoft Dataverse database also created for this environment. And this is used for the entities that you create, like your accounts, your contacts, or any other business-related data. So there is a toggle to create a database for that environment, and you would toggle that to yes. And once the database has been created, new bots can be deployed to the environment from within the Power Virtual Agents portal. And you'll see that when April goes through creating a new bot in a moment. So now that we have a good understanding of how Power Virtual Agents works and where environments fit in, let's get a good look on how to really get started with the PVA interface and get started with creating a bot. And April's going to walk us through that.
Yeah, before I dive into this section, we have a great question in the chat from Steven. So one of the things he's asking is some customers, they want to talk to a real life agent and they might be a little bit annoyed with bots. So his question is, Should a bot identify itself as a bot? That's a great question. Now, one thing I'll point out, if you notice, when I showed the final product of what we're going to be building today, it did identify itself as a bot. So that it's the bot that's welcome, it's there to help us. So I don't know if you want to chime in with any thoughts there, Gitska, but I think
Certainly. You know, we do have, when I show you some of the topics that we have, there is something called a greeting topic. which is a way for you to greet your customers with whatever greeting text that you want to say. So the very typical thing to say over there is that, hi, I'm a virtual agent, or I'm a chatbot, just to kind of identify yourself. So, but you have the ability to customize that and greet yourself, greet as you see appropriate.
Yep, exactly. And as Gitika said, we will show you that a little bit later on here. But first, let's talk about how we can get started creating bots in the interface. And before we even get started with what Power Virtual Agents looks like from a creating standpoint, we need to think about what will our bots be used for. With any project we're working on, we have to clearly define the requirements and the scope to make sure that the project runs smoothly, and the same applies to us for building bots. So for example, you might have a bot that you're using to handle account inquiries or self-service support, maybe knowledge-based type things. Knowing how you plan to use the bot is going to help you define and plot out the conversation paths and determine how many topics that the bot will need to be able to handle. And again, Getsika will explain more what topics are. Other functions that you might consider including using a bot for might be looking at basic account details, so performing more advanced account operations, implementing some type of action in it. So that was where that system integration standpoint comes into play that we talked about in the benefits. Now, the more scenarios that you initially consider, the easier it's going to be to determine the topics that your bot needs and for you to facilitate that. As far as creating a bot, again, we have a point-and-click interface. It is so incredibly simple. All we have to do is click on the bot icon in the upper right-hand corner and select New Bot. And you'll notice here, these are where those environments that Gitika just spoke about come into play. So when we create a bot, by default, all bots are going to be created in the default environment for your organization or your tenant, unless we specify otherwise. So that's what this that's what that dropdown is for, is to select the environment there where we want to put our bot in. So I can see in this environment, I have two bots in there. So as far as changing an environment, we can define that when we're initially creating our bot. So we put in our bot name, we select a language because Power Virtual Agent bots do support multiple languages. And then we can choose the environment that we want to target from this dropdown here. Now, there could be times when you no longer need a bot that you have built. You know, maybe it needs to be retired. So we have the ability by clicking on the gear there and going to general settings to delete a bot that we're no longer using. So when we're looking at the interface of Power Virtual Agents, there are a few key areas to point out. So when we have the bots panel, that's where we're going to create and open existing bots across all of our environments. We have the settings screen where we'll go and use, we can do things like fallback topics and transfer agent settings. The home screen is the main page of our bot panel, which we'll look at here in a second. This is where you can find tools to assist you with creating, publishing, monitoring performance of your bot and all of that. We have a topic section, which again, Gitika will go into in the next section. We have entities. This provides us access for all of the pre-built and custom entities that are available and used by the bot. That's where the Dataverse integration comes in. The analytics section, Gitika will talk about that more later on, so I'm not going to mention that, but we can see some details on performance, publish, manage, and then test or hide bot. Now, this is all better explained though in a demo. So we're going to show how to build our first chatbot in Power Virtual Agents. So I'm going to walk you through how we sign in to create a bot, and then we'll take a quick tour of the user interface. So to sign in to Power Virtual Agents for the first time, you can go to aka.ms/try PVA. And that'll take you to this landing screen. And we'll have a few options. Now, I have already configured Power Virtual Agents in my environment, and I already have it set up. So I can click the sign-in option. If you're just getting started and haven't set up Power Virtual Agents in your environment yet, you'll select the try for free option. So I'm going to click sign-in, and that will take me to the Power Virtual Agents page. Now, again, since I've already have this configured, it's going to look a little bit differently. So I'm already taken directly into a bot that I've had created. It's called the sample bot that I have here. So if I wanted to create a new bot, all I would have to do is click on the bot icon in the upper right-hand corner and select the new bot option. Now, here are those environments that we talked about. So I have two different environments here. I have my defaults, and then I have another one. And I can see within this environment, I have two bots deployed right now. So I can just select new bot to create a new one. And this is that screen where all we have to do is fill in the name of our bot, the language, and choose the environment to create it. So we would just click create. I'm not going to do that because the when you first create a new bot, it takes a little bit of a process to get that set up. And I already have one created. So once you create your bot, it will take you to a landing screen that looks like this. This is the home screen where we can see more information as far as getting help with creating bots. We have the test panel here, which I'll talk about a little bit more later on. We could have built-in inline testing of our bots before we publish it. We can choose the hide and the show button at the bottom left-hand corner to enable and disable that test panel. On the left-hand side is where we can navigate between the different aspects of Power Virtual Agents, so topics, if we wanted to build those out. We could click on the topic section, see all the topics that we currently have, and create new topics. Entities, this is where if we're consuming information, storing that within the Dataverse database and in Power Virtual Agents, all those entities are available here, and we can create new ones, of course. Analytics, publish, and manage, where you can see details. So once we have created a bot, if we need to change the name or the icon, we can just come into this detail screen, swap out that name and that icon here. And we also have areas where we can configure security and different AI capabilities here. So all of this will make more sense when we go into some of the other sections here as far as what topics are. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Gitika. She can explain more about what topics are and how we use them in Power Virtual Agents.
Great. So topics, that's right. Topics define how your customers are really going to interact with your bot. And they typically tend to represent the common issues or the questions that are going to be asked by your customers. And I think the two things to call out here is that topics or any new topic that you're going to write or even some of the sample topics that we have out of the box contain two primary elements. The first thing is just the trigger phrases, those phrases or those keywords or the types of questions that are going to be entered by your users and that you want that the bot is able to recognize and relate to. Now, they typically represent what the user will enter, but they do not need to be an exact match to what your users may enter because people will enter things differently, but they just need to be semantically similar. And this is where the AI or the artificial intelligence in Power Virtual Agents really comes into play to be able to determine which topic is the best match for your user enter trigger phrases. And I'll give you an example in a second here. The second important piece over here is actual conversation, the actual conversation nodes. These are what define how the bot should respond and what it should do when somebody comes into that topic for your bot. So let's take an example where you may be trying to create a bot to provide the list of locations for your store. And the customer may come in and ask for store locations. And in this case, you could have a bunch of different trigger phrases like store locations, where are your stores located, find me a store. These would just be sample trigger phrases that you're going to enter into the system. And then when you actually play with it, try different trigger phrases to see how it doesn't need to be an exact match. And then the conversation nodes would be your actual response to the user. And when we see this in the demo in a moment, you'll see how we build out those conversation nodes and design the topic. You can design topics by customizing some of the starter topics that we've provided, or just by starting to create a brand new one, or even by picking up topic suggestions from existing sites. I do want to mention that if you do already have an existing FAQ site or a Word document or a PDF document somewhere with a bunch of Q&A type of questions, you can, with a few clicks, import all of those questions into Power Virtual Agents to create starter topics. So if someone came into your bot and asked any of those questions in that Q&A list, your bot can respond without you having to do much effort at all if you already have all of that content existing somewhere. Your bot can have up to 1,000 topics, but that's a pretty good number to get you started. When you create a bot, you have several predefined topics to really help you get started. And there are two types of predefined topics. There are the lesson topics or the system topics. Lesson topics are those topics that are designed by us to just give you an understanding of the simple and some of the more complex concepts. And there's a few lessons, so some of the simpler ones, and then they build in complexity to give you a starter or a starter on some of the concepts in there and help you get started with creating your topics. System topics are pre-populated topics that represent the common use cases that occur during a conversation. So, I'll explain this more in a couple of slides. But to drill into lesson topics just a little bit more, again, lesson topics provide examples of how you could get started with your bot. So for example, we've got four lesson topics out of the box. One is just a really simple topic with a single conditional branching that happens to display those store hours that we were talking about. Well, there's a second lesson over there, which is the one that we're going to go and build on in the demo in a moment. And when we come back, April will show us how she's going to test it out and actually show that to us working. So we'll take the second lesson, which is a topic which has a condition and a variable, and we'll do some branching. We'll do a conditional branch and store that, store some information in a variable, like the customer's preferred location, whether they want to be looking for stores in maybe Washington State or another state or a particular zip code. We will store that in a variable. And then there's a third lesson and a fourth lesson with more complexity involving entities. And we have some built-in entities, like a state entity, so you can recognize a U.S. state. It's a built-in entity, meaning that the system understands that there is a finite set of states in the U.S. And so it's already something that we've built out of the box for you in the system. And so if somebody enters WA for Washington, the system already knows that, well, that's Washington State because it's an entity. It's a unit of information that the bot has pre-built and predefined. And in the fourth lesson, we introduce the concept of custom entities, which is building on those initial entity set that we've already got for you out of the box. But a custom entity would be something that's very specific to your business use case. For example, if you have a business, with car sales or car service, you may want to have an entity on the types or the models of cars or the makes of cars. And you could have this entity be car make, and you can have, BMWs and Toyotas and whatnot, because that's not a list that's finite. It's a list that's specific to your business needs, and that would be defined in a custom entity. So system topics, I want to just come back to that for a second. These are the scenarios that your customers will pretty much always encounter when they interact with your bot, such as just being able to initiate a conversation or end a conversation. So like you'll see, there is a greeting topic, and this is the kind of topic where you can define how you want your bot to start off when the moment somebody comes in and says hi. What is it that you want to let them know? Do you want to let them know that this is a bot? You would do it over here. You would go in and edit this topic and have the topic have whatever you wanted to say. Or there are topics to just end a conversation and determine if the topic was a success or a failure. And following that, you could take it to a CSAT survey or something to gather information. Or there's an escalate topic. These are just out of the box available. Escalate would help you escalate over to an agent if your bot is not able to handle the conversation. So these are system topics that are sort of templates for you to work with, and you will want to obviously edit them and improve, make them more suitable to your business needs. But they're available out of the box for you to get started.
So, Gitska, before you move on to creating topics, we had a great question in the chat that kind of goes along with what we're talking about here that I wanted to bring up. So Manish, he's asking, can you please share some real life enterprise problems that can be addressed using bots? Now, I know you just mentioned a few there with, like, if you're having a bot, maybe with cars and makes and models and storing that data there. But maybe give everyone a few other ideas of what we can do and use the bots for.
Certainly. We have a bunch of existing customers. I'll give you an example of an insurance provider who has been using our chatbot to be able to provide people insurance quotes online. So the bot can gather a bunch of information about the customer, on what type of cars they have, other, you know, security features in their car, but basically gather a bunch of information in the bot and then provide a quote without having to reach out to an agent right there within the bot. Then they can also have people log in because you can get authenticated through the bot and manage their account. So if they want to just print or get their documents or their most recent statement, all of that can be handled through the bot without having to reach out to customer service. So any customer service kind of scenarios that insurance was one example right there. There's a lot of examples I could talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot, right? Tons of examples. Knowledge bases. Another common one I see is an HR human resource bot to answer common questions about benefits, when are our company holidays and all that. So no shortage of use cases for sure.
Certainly. Right. So let's talk a little bit more about creating topics. We've talked about some of the out-of-the-box available topics, and now you'll want to be able to start creating and defining those additional topics by going over to the topics in the NefNav that April showed us. And then you'd select new topic, and the key elements of the topic you'd want to provide are just the name, the trigger phrases that we talked about, some of the sample trigger phrases, and then click over to the big blue go to authoring canvas button, because then the next step is to actually switch over to the authoring canvas, and that's, you know, by saving your topic. And this is where you really start defining that conversational interaction with the topic. Now, specifically in the case of Power Virtual Agents, one of our, big things is that you are going to be working with a graphical, very intuitive dialogue editor. It's a very visual graphical interface. You're not really writing any code. It's very simple to get started, which is why even subject matter experts or even business users, for that matter, are able to go in and get topics created pretty easily. You typically would want to start off with a simple message, and the conversation shows you that for these trigger phrases and other semantically similar trigger phrases, the first thing it's doing in this case, as you can see in the screenshot, is actually showing a message saying, hey, here, hello, I'm happy to assist with store hours. So we'll look at a topic in a moment in the demo. And then there are additional things you can do in your conversational nodes. For example, one of the most commonly used conversation nodes is the ask a question type. This is really used to ask your customer any question that you need to ask them, present them a bunch of options that they can select or have them freeform enter. And then you can save that response into a variable, and we'll see that in the demo. And you can continue to add more nodes over here. But the moment you ask a question, the system will automatically do a conditional branching to be able to respond depending on what the user's response is from the options that we select. We'll see this in the demo in a moment. We talked about message nodes to provide any information over to the user. And now in the demo that we're going to look at in a second here is we'll look at making a copy of a topic, and then we'll go ahead and edit that topic in the interface over here. So we're back in the Power Virtual Agents interface over here. I'm going to flip over to the topics view. This is where you can see those initial lesson topics that we talked about, which are the sample topics to just get you started, followed by the system topics, also templatized for you to go ahead and tweak to suit your own needs. So we're going to take this topic over here and just make a copy of this topic. Now, copying a topic can take a few seconds. It kind of depends on the size of the topic. But really what it's doing is copying all of the content of this topic. So if you already have something like this templatized, it's really easy to get started. In this case, I've made a copy of this topic. It puts it at the top of the list. When I go in over here, I can go ahead and edit, or I could have just begun by doing new topic. I should have shown you that, but I'll show you that in a minute. So I'm going to create this topic over here by giving it a name, store locations. I can obviously go edit the description, which can be done later. In this case, the trigger phrases are the same as the topic I copied. And then I am going to go over to the authoring Canvas button over here. This will save the topic with the name stored locations. I'm going to go over to the authoring Canvas. It's just asking me to save it. And once I'm in here, you'll see this is the conversational node, the conversation that we were looking at. Let me just zoom out a little bit so this can come in view.
That looks oddly familiar, like kind of Power Automate-esque almost.
Yeah, certainly. So it's showing... Yeah, it's showing you the trigger phrases to get started with over here. The first thing is just saying that I'll be able to help you find a store near you. And then the next thing the conversation is going to do is ask you a question of which location are you interested in? Because what we're trying to do is provide a list of store locations for the area or the location that the user is interested in. So it's a multiple choice kind of thing where we have other predefined types over here. You can see you could have the states, the list of states as just a predefined entity of all the United States list of states. That's just one of the examples of all the different or cities or colors kind of entities. But in this case, we're just going to do a multiple choice with providing the user some options of Redmond, Seattle, and Kirkland, because they may want store locations in these areas. Let's try to add a little something more to this topic. In this case, April, any ideas on what is another option I can add in here, and we'll see how this works.
You know what I think we're missing? We have Redmond, Seattle, Kirkland, but we don't have Bellevue.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. Many of us in this area are in Bellevue. Let's go ahead and add a new option. It's really as simple as doing that, where I add Bellevue as one of the options. And what you'll notice over here is that the editor automatically forked or branched to add Bellevue as one of the options. Because what this is saying is that for these inputs, for this question, present these options to the user. And for each option, we may want to do different things. For example, for Kirkland, we want to give them the Kirkland store location. So for Bellevue, it's forked to say Bellevue. I'm going to go ahead and say, great. In this case, let's go ahead and show a message that our Bellevue is located at. And actually, the other piece I'm going to show you here is that I'm going to use a variable, because what I've done here is saved the response that the user has entered into this variable called PVA underscore store location. So then I can just reuse it without having to hard code it, right? So I'm going to go ahead and say R, and it'll enter the value for the store location, which in this case is Bellevue, is located at 1234 Bellevue, Washington 98005. That's right. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And in this case, what I'm going to do is actually end the conversation. So I'm going to just take this, drag it over here, and boom, I go ahead and end the conversation. And I have a pretty meaningful topic ready. So for the different locations that the user is going to ask, and April's going to show us how to test this, we're going to provide them different answers. So with this, I actually have my topic created. And we are actually at a point where we can come back and do a little knowledge check.
So this is time for our first knowledge check. So make sure that put your answers there in the chat. So first question that we have here, which of the following Power Virtual Agents components is used to define the conversation path between a customer and the bot? So we have A, entities, B, topics, C, variables, or D, channels. Which one do you think this could be, Yitzka?
Yeah, you know, we touched very briefly on entities, but if in order to really just define the entire conversation path, entities really aren't what represent that whole conversation path. But we talked about topics and we focused a lot on topics. So I think that may be a reasonable thing to look at. And we talked about how conversational flows and how it tracks the conversation. Variables and channels, I think, are a bit too specific at this point in our journey. So, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much just leaves one option, right? I'm thinking it has to be B topics. And yep, that is the answer there, topics, which Kitsika just covered. So that's how we define that conversation path is with topics. All right, great job, everyone. Now let's move on to, we've built a bot, we've added our topics, customized that. Now, how do we test it? Because before we roll anything out, we want to make sure we test it thoroughly, especially when these bots are made up of multiple different topics. We want to make sure we go and test each of the topics and make sure it's working correctly. So how do we do that? Well, we can test it in real time with a bot test panel. It's just simply by clicking the test bot button, which I'll walk through here in a second. This allows us to interact with our bot just as a user would if we had this published somewhere. So as we enter in text in the test bot window, information is presented just as it would be presented to the end user. All right. Your bot will likely contain, like I said, multiple topics, which Gitika showed there in the topics pane of the bot she was in. So as you engage with a specific topic, it might be handy to have that application take you to that topic. We can do that with allow tracking. So when we're testing these bots out, it'll actually have our conversation path in the window to the right of it, which we'll see here in a second, and it will walk us through the whole conversation path and check off if that was successful so that we can see and make sure that it's working correctly. Now, if we want to test the entire bot correctly, we want to make sure we toggle this track between topics option on so that we can test properly between the various topics that we have within our bot, and it will change and update the panel to walk us through that conversation path. So this is an example of what it's going to look like. But this is best explained again in a demo. So let's walk through a quick demo on how we can turn on our topic and test our changes. So let me go back here. I'm in the bot. So the bot that Gitika just created that I created. And here there's the Git store locations topic that Gitika just customized. We want to make sure, one thing to point out is when we are copying a particular topic, when we copy that, it actually turns that off. So when you make a copy, so the status would be set to off. So what we want to make sure we do is toggle the status, which you see I've already did here, to on so that we can use that topic and test it out and have it there when we publish. So that's the first step. Now, once you ensure that that's on, now it's time to start testing. So we're here in our bot in the topics. All we have to do is click the test your bot option in the lower left-hand side. And now we can start having a chat. Now, before we do that, though, we want to make sure we do toggle that track between topics, because if I want to test things like the greeting, maybe I want to type hello and then also check the store locations one, I want this track between topics on to allow me to test that. So let's test out that Git store locations. So I'm going to type in one of our trigger phrases, which is Git store locations. So it's going to clarify, what did you mean? I can choose the Git store locations option. And now this is where what Gitika just added is asking me in that question, which location am I interested in getting the location for or the address for? So we have Redmond, Seattle, Kirkland. And if we scroll over here, we can see there is Bellevue that Gitika just added. So I'm going to select our Bellevue location. And I can see that as soon as I do that, you see the panel on the right-hand side over conversation path is updating in real time. And again, this is where I say it does look, if you've happened to use Power Automate in the past, to me, this really reminds me of the testing panel in Power Automate as well, because we have nice green check marks next to the different actions in here and trigger phrases, letting us know that it was successful. So I can see here through the conversation path that it met a particular condition, went through, and it gave me the location. And then we can end with a, did that answer your question? Yes or no? So I was just able to thoroughly test out my bot really easily. So with that, we have a second knowledge check, right? So second knowledge check, what are we gonna ask about here? When, again, in the chat, make sure you put in your answers here for the knowledge check. Which setting on the test bot panel lets you monitor a test conversation that spans across multiple topics? Seems like I just talked about this one. Is it A, switch between topics, B, monitor between topics, C, track between topics, or D, follow between topics? Now, I don't know, Gitika, this one's pretty tricky, isn't it? Because all of these are pretty similar.
Yeah, right. They do sound similar, but I think there was definitely one of these terms that was used in the UI that we were just looking at. Really, we're trying to, you know, really follow or track, and actually in some sense track what the user is going through in the conversation. So I think that tracking of the conversation is truly representative.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was follow, because we're not really following. We're more tracking what's going on there. I don't think it was monitor switch. So I'm thinking that, yeah, pretty much leaves one answer, which is what we just talked about, which is,
Go ahead. And the response does show that we do have most people. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so it looks like most of you are right. It is C, track between topics. That is that radio button that I click there. Okay, we are getting close on time here, and we have to make sure when we're building out our bot that we publish it and analyze the performance. That is the last piece of the puzzle here to get our bot working. So with that, Gizika, why don't you walk us through how we publish our bots and what we do and how we monitor the performance once they're live?
Certainly. Thank you, April, for getting us to the point where our bot is tested. We've built a bot. And now once this content has been created, it's at the point where it should be published so that customers can start engaging with it. And publishing really makes the bot's content or all of what you've written in the bot become available across channels and across platforms. Before you can actually make it available on a channel so that your team members can interact with it or anybody can start interacting, you do need to publish it one time. And then it also ensures that all of the changes and latest updates that you've made in your bot are what the end user is going to see and interact. So what this also means is that if you do make minor changes to your bot, you do need to publish it each time in order for it to be available to the end user. Publishing a bot, which you'll see in the demo in a moment, is pretty simple. It's a single click over on the publish tab that April was showing us. There is also a pretty handy link to a demo website that we provide to you out of the box that the moment you publish your bot is available. We'll see this in the demo in a second. That you can go into this demo website and even hand over this link or share this link with anybody in your organization to be able to just start playing with the bot and start giving you any feedback that may help you improve your bot. Last but not least, we want to make sure that we are analyzing how our bot is doing. And we've got some pretty rich built-in analytics powered by Power BI that you'll see in the demo, which really helps you get an understanding of the KPIs or the key performance indicators when it comes to a bot, to see how your bot is performing. And then deeper analytics in the other tabs that are around customer satisfaction and sessions. And so we'll see this in the demo as well. With that, actually, maybe it's time to just switch over to the demo where I'm going to show you how you can publish your bot, see it on the demo website, and then switch over into the bot analytics. So here I am. I'm back on the same Power Virtual Agents designer view. In the left nav over here, if you click on publish, there is a button to go ahead and publish your bot. When you click this, it asks for a confirmation on whether you want to go ahead and publish the latest content. And what it also does is verifies if there are any errors, so your end users don't hit any unexpected errors when interacting with your bot. So it'll do a quick check of errors, let you know if there are any errors you need to handle, and it'll also push out the latest content. I've already done that, so I'm not going to go ahead and trigger that. It does take a few seconds, could be up to a minute or so, to get your content published. And then once you do that, you click over on this demo website, and it opens this where you can see and start interacting with your bot, or even give this link over here to anybody to start interacting with your bot and test it out and play with it over here. You can give them some starter phrases over here, type in over here, and start interacting with the bot. And then the last piece I want to show is when you switch over here to the analytics tab, I actually have that open over here. Zoom in a little bit. This is a pretty rich, out of the box, built in analytics interface, which is a bunch of Power BI components. And it gives you a pretty good sense of how your bot is performing. It gives you a sense of how many sessions you've had, how many of these were engaged, and what type of engagement did you have? Were you able to resolve issues with the bot? Were the issues getting escalated in the bot? Or were people just abandoning the bot because for whatever reason? And then a very important element is CSAT. When you end the conversation with your bot, when April was demoing, you would have seen that there was a CSAT survey that popped up, which is a 1 to 5 star rating, where somebody can, when the person is interacted, they can select a 1 to 5 star rating. And then you can click over onto this tab and drill deeper into the CSAT number to understand better. Lower here at the bottom of the screen, it actually gives you a better sense of which topics are driving what type of either resolutions or escalations and abandons with your bot. This is really rich. It really helps you understand which topics are doing well, which topics are not doing well, and kind of take that information forward and improve your bot. Here on the sessions tab, you can actually download the sessions, the entire conversation that your users are having with the bot, and really do a deep analysis on what's working and what's not working. And last but not least, in the billing tab, you get a sense of how many of your sessions are actually getting billed. And so you have a sense of how many sessions are going to start, you know, costing some money. With that, I'm going to switch us back to a quick knowledge check. Let me just switch back to the screen here.
Yeah, actually, we're just going to, let's jump ahead and review like what we've covered so far today and do a quick summary for everyone. And if we have time, maybe answer one more question here. Yeah. So, you know, we've covered a lot. So let's do a quick recap. First of all, bots itself, they're critical for meeting the demand for more personalized and effective customer services experiences. They let us provide customers with self-service support solutions that can be integrated through natural language that simulates human conversation. We can offload simple or common issues to our bots to solve, allowing our agents or human agents to focus on the more complicated issues that might require more time. These bots can incorporate information from other systems into the conversation to provide personalized experiences to customers, including the ability to schedule meetings, assign cases, or send emails. And we learned that Power of Virtual Agents gives us an amazing way to create these bots without having to write any code. As we just walked through today in the different demos that we showed, we didn't write a single line of code. We just point and clicked, we added messages, we were able to pull in variables, we tested it easily, we published it easy, all with that no code, no point and click interface that Power Virtual Agents gives us. We showed how environments work and how we can use them to tailor content that's being used based on factors like teams, regions, or other factors. We explained the concept of topics and how those are key to how Power Virtual Agent bots work, the different types that are available, and how we use those within a bot. And of course, we showed the publishing aspect, which Gizika just covered. So you might be wondering, what are the next steps then? So you want to be able to gain a deeper understanding of how to design effective conversation paths, which Gizika was talking us through with those topics, and to provide users with better overall experiences. So additional learning would include getting a deeper understanding of those conversation nodes, examining how entities and variables can be used to capture and store relevant data that we might need to have there for our bot, and examining the tools that are available for topic management. You can also use customer service insights to analyze the support topics that come across your entire support operation and understand which to consider automating through Power Virtual Agents. Now, we do have time, I believe, for a couple of questions here. Also, don't stop here, though. Before we go to aka.ms/learn-mbas-bots. That will take you directly to this learning path that we went through today. You can walk through the modules there and get hands-on experience. Now, I do want to take some time to address a few questions that we had in the chat. One we had here was, can we deploy bots in on-premises environments? Did you want to tackle that one, Gizika?
Yeah, so certainly. We allow you to deploy bots through Teams, if you've built bots through Microsoft Teams, over specifically into your Teams environments. And all of the folks within your organization are able to then chat with the bot. You do have to publish it out and get admin approval, but yes, you can. Another question there is, can the authoring canvas be printed out? That's actually a pretty good question. We don't have support right in there to be able to print out the authoring canvas. It's a pretty nifty ask. But yes, I can certainly take that back as an ask to the team.
Yeah, people love to print. I know that was a big thing in Power Apps when we got the printing availability added. That made a lot of people happy. So great questions. But one more, if we have a little bit more time here. Are bots published internally or wide, not public?
So I can try and kind of touch on that. So you can put your bot up on any website by going over to the under the manage tab that was in the left nav that April was showing us. There is a channels section. And if you went over into the channels section, you have custom website as one of the options. And if you select that custom website option, we provide you an HTML snippet. And you can take that HTML snippet and embed it into any website, and your bot will be available on that public website or whatever that website is for anybody to interact with. Once you've signed up with Power Virtual Agents and been able to build a bot, putting it out on a public site is free.
And also too, you know, like another thing that we can do with these is in Teams, you know, with Dataverse for Teams. I know we didn't really mention it today, but we're able to take the bots that we build in Power Virtual Agents and integrate them seamlessly within Teams so we can interact with those with everyone in our org there.
Right.
Okay, well, I think that's all the questions that we had. Now, I do want to thank everyone for joining us today. I had a great time telling everyone about Power Virtual Agents, but this is not all. If you enjoyed the session today, we hope that you can come over back to Learn Live every week. We have episodes every week where we cover Learn modules, work with experts to cover Learn content in depth with live Q&A. So we have over 2,000 topics in Microsoft Learn. That's a lot. So we'll be covering all manner of things going forward. So Learn Live airs every Monday on Learn TV. So mark your calendars, and I hope you can join us.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time.
Yep, thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.